I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Comic Book Nation's Quick Save, our gaming focus segment, where today me and my buddy Matthew Aguilar are once again doing a recap of Halo Season 2. This is the latest video game adaptation TV series, and we've been covering all things season two, and today is no different. We're here after the pivotal episode 4, Battle of Reach, and the battle wasn't over. So we got to keep talking. So let's just, you know what, no more preamble. Let me just get it out of the way. If you're just getting into Comic Book Nation, go subscribe to our feeds on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartMedia. We're everywhere, and listen to all our different segments. We got anime segments, we got gaming segments, and our regular show every Friday. All right. Without further ado, Matt, we are now into Halo Episode 5. We've crossed the Rubicon. There's 8 episodes this season. We're in the back half. Episode 5 was called Alaria, and right off the bat, I think this episode, we've had episodes that had like battle and drama, then drama, then big battle. And this episode, I think, was like the most balanced in terms of like battle thrills and drama that took place. Stick around because I believe we have a special guest at the end of the show, right, Matt?
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Natasha Kozak, Riz herself. I'm so excited for that. And if you've seen this episode, you know that's a big deal.
Yeah, Matt's on the cutting edge over here. He's got the whole Halo cast on his side, and like every episode we getting the key people to talk to. So make sure you guys are tuning in or listening to these recap shows, because it's not just us talking. At the end of our recap, we will be, as Matt said, we'll be talking to Riz herself. And if you're just coming off this episode, you know she's got a lot to say. So let's just get to it. I got to say, you know, we didn't get to see this as far in advance as everybody else. We're kind of coming into this around the same time, maybe a little early, but we're coming in about the same time as everybody else who's in the viewing audience. And I was really curious where we were going to go from episode 4 and the kind of crazy battle highlights we got in that episode. And the fact that we kind of just assumed, I guess, because we've been Game of Thrones into our brains, that a battle episode has to be like this big single thing. Whereas, you know, this battle, we were like, this isn't over. Like, this is still ongoing. And so, yeah, this episode had a lot. I loved how they mixed the kind of the drama and the action, because showing you the impact of the loss, some people would be like, you know, they could have this tendency to just, you know, oh, we're still in the thick of it, we got to keep pushing, and then there'd be like an episode 6 that's all about, you know, taking in the loss. This is kind of like, yeah, our Spartans and the Marines and USNC, they just gotten their, you know, their heads kicked in. They've taken some major losses, and the trauma in the battle is very real. And so once again, I think that like having focused showrunners and like focused story arcs for each character is so valuable, because it begins to really pay off as these episodes are getting deeper. And so just like this episode complicated just about every character we know in some kind of way, right? Like even Halsey is just like sitting there and reeling from the loss of Jake, of her, you know, her ex-husband of Major Keys. She's so clearly traumatized in the middle of all this. You know, Master Chief is the most down bad we've ever seen Master Chief in Halo. Like, he's physically incapacitated. He's literally being carried through this episode. It's a lot to take in. And in the midst of that, we also get the good balance of seeing the larger pieces kind of also moving around the board, and even the side characters become very important in this, and everything has kind of, as we kind of hoped, I feel like, coalesced, it kind of converged together, so that Soren's concerns are linked with Master Chief's again, and you know, the conflict between Soren and Lara, his wife, and all of these things are kind of linked and make sense. And none of it feels like the first season and just out on like planet A, planet B, planet C, and like we're watching three shows. So I was very grateful of that. And I'm very invested in these characters. So like at this point, Matt, how you feeling?
Well, I think you used the right term. I think coalesce is like the perfect way I would describe it, because, you know, there's like a early part of the episode, right, where Soren and Lara leave and you see them in the truck, right? And they leave and like the rest of the group sees them leave. And so they know what they're obviously trying to do. And then you see them come back and that same group sees them come back. And there's a sense of, you know, oh, something's not right. Like they didn't achieve what they were setting out to do. And I mean, obviously I keep forgetting where you can talk spoilers, so it's fine. I was trying to dance around that. I don't know why. So they're obviously looking for their son, right? And so because they don't find Kessler, when they come back, there's actually like a little, it's just a small moment, but like there's a sense of like, oh, they didn't find him. And it's because the rest of the group cares and they're invested in them as well. Like they really do their wants and needs and dealing with the trauma. They're kind of doing it as a rather dysfunctional, but still a group. You know, Quan's whole, you know, trying to get it through to Chief about, you know, Vennec and like how to deal with grief and all that stuff. Like that's all tied together. And to this point, it really, not even to this point, but especially like in season one, right? Yes, Quan and Chief were linked in some ways, but it didn't really feel that way. It didn't feel like they were in the same circles and dealing with the same things. And here, you know, everyone's kind of in that trench together. And it really feels like we've developed that group of people. And that's also what makes, you know, the kind of end decision for Riz so impactful, because like it feels like you just got this family and now you're losing a critical piece. And it's not going to, you know, she's not going to be jumping on board, at least, you know, for now, for the foreseeable future. So it, all of that really ties together, but you don't get that if you don't feel like this group is together and they're just a bunch of subplots that just happen to be in the same space. They've managed to make it feel like it's rather organic. Everyone's here. They're just doing the best they can with what they have. And they still have a kind of an overarching mission. You know, to try and survive and try and get to the next place, but their goals are aligning. So it's an impressive feat. And I agree with you too. I think this is the best balanced episode. I mean, we get, you know, right off the gate. I mean, it hits the ground running. You're in the middle of everything. There's some, you know, twists along that way. And then the stuff that would in season one, that would have felt like, so like it was filmed in a completely different place and not feel tied to anything, feels necessary and feels impactful. You know, Quan especially, like some of that stuff that was done with her, I just thought like was so well done. And Halo knows how to creep you out occasionally. You know what I mean? Knows how to do that in small moments. And I thought the whole kind of vision thing and all that was like supremely well done for her. So this episode had a little bit of all of it.
Yeah, I have to go back. Honestly, I have to go back and rewatch it because I feel like it's an episode of Invincible. Like, it was so much that I'm beginning to remember happened in this episode. Like, for each character, like, the density of each storyline. Like you said, I've forgotten about Quan and the visions because I was just remembering, like, Soren and Lara and then Chief and the whole Vanek arc and that, which also hit home. Like, that was a powerful thing that got to me in Halo because yeah. It could be hard for this show to have emotion and just when he finally does see his face and, like, you know, all the posturing, all the, you know, theories of, oh, that's not my friend, he's gone and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, it hits him. Like, it's a human moment he's having, like he really feels it. And that was really well done. I also think it's good, like in this weird way, like the showrunners of season two are doing some very necessary work that season two didn't do. And that is very necessary for the kind of the survival of the show, really, which is, they're doing it in a very good way. We are whittling down characters. We are whittling down the cast to get to the point, because this is still a Halo prequel, really. If you're just talking about the first game combat, you know, where we start in the first game, this is still very much a Halo prequel. But what I can see this show doing slowly but surely is getting you to a point where you feel it, like you feel that Master Chief is alone, like, and what that means for him, what and why, and when it could be just him and Cortana again, like going out and doing these larger things on the Halo, or being with the Arbiter, or doing all the things we know from the games that come, like why, how he got to be here in this place solo, and like what that sacrifice meant, that he once had a team, a family, but you know, slowly but surely through this war, it's cost him, and he's the guy that just keeps surviving. And as he said, it's just like, I know I'm going to survive, but it ain't that great to be, you know,
right,
the sole survivor. Like, and it's just going to be him and Cortana against the darkness of the universe. Like, that is going to feel like we've earned that journey and we understand.
Yes.
But it's also a more sustainable show where you just, it is Master Chief and Cortana, a couple key characters he's in contact with, but, you know, Marines he encounters along the way, or each episode of the week we meet, you know, these other, you know, support players, but I can see us headed there. And, yeah, but it's going to be well earned. Like, you understand by the time we put this guy in armor, or a lot, or just him on his own, like we understand how we got there and who our hero is. And it carries a lot more, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And speaking of those key players, like, they come out and say it, right? We get the Arbiter. It's official, you know, they make that plain and clear, but also you're getting his backstory and you're getting to understand like who that person is. And I thought they also did Cortana, her presence is starting to, number one, increase in the show. This is the most screen time she's had this season so far. But also it, you know, she's also kind of developing into her own person apart from Chief, which and Chief as well. So it makes me excited to see when those two eventually do come together, how they will react and contrast to each other. But I thought they did great work there too. And McKee, right? Like the whole, like, look, I'm only as valuable to them as you make me. And that like kind of honesty and that brokering of a deal, you know, by the end without it being said, like, that's all really good stuff to do on that side, which we've always talked about. Like, the lore side of Halo to me is, you know, I know some people adore it and I get it, but like, it's always been the part I've never connected to. I just never have. So the fact that we're doing that work and we're making me care about the other side as well is good. I think that's a strong win. So when we get to the big stuff that everyone knows, I'll care. And that's the whole premise of half our conversations about this series and this franchise. Of like, I want to care about it, and I want to care about all the lore and all the entities and all the people in it. And the show is, you know, making me do that. And, you know, we got to talk about Riz, right? Because that's such a key part to, I thought the moment between her and Chief at the end, when he finally breaks, that facade finally crumbles a little bit. And he's like, you're all I've got, you know? And she's like, I know. And like that whole scene, it's like, Halo does a lot with small moments. Like they make those moments count, because it's not very long, but they know how to just maximize that impact. And I thought that was a key moment there. you know, and building off of all of Riz's previous, I mean, those two episodes we talked about in the first half of the season, those two kind of character focused episodes. This doesn't matter if you don't execute those. If you don't make Riz and you don't have her whole arc, you don't care about this. And so I thought that was a credit to those episodes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, are they, every one of the kind of Spartans have had, like, even Vanek, who we got to know probably the least. I mean, yeah, he was still very much a presence in this second season. Just his humor, kind of like getting to know what he's been like, that first conversation in the opening of the premiere, him with the pigeons, like they did just enough so that when he's gone, you're like, oh man, Vanek's gone. Like, oh, and like, it is a loss. Like, we were just getting to know him, and like, it's surprising that he's gone, because it felt like these Spartans were going to be, we were getting to know them for the, like, a longer haul. And like, yeah, Riz is out, but there's still one left, right? And where is she? Kai. I can't believe it. Our favorite MVP from season one is now with the ops and leading the ops. So that's going to be interesting, because again, like, Kai's position has had this kind of one of the most dynamic arcs in this whole show since it began, from her like taking out the chip in season one and us watching her kind of come into her individual personality, and then to this season with her obviously like being the one who will draw a line with Chief and be like, yo, like, I'm gonna check you, like, I don't know if I agree with you, and things like that. It's going to be interesting to see like what happens here, and like the whole winter contingency of it all, and what happens when, yeah, this, when our, you know, the human side can't even trust itself. Now this is getting real Game of Thrones, where it's like, you can't even trust your own human side, and now you're doing battle with your own side, your own kind of tech, plus, you know, everything that the Covenant is starting to do, plus when we ever we get to Halo and the Flood and all this. Like, this show is going to be pretty crazy in season three, and I personally can't wait for that. So I hope we get a great season two cliffhanger, and then season three gets real wild real quick. But yeah, man, this... I'm trying to think about any individual scenes I want to touch on in this one. No, I think we hit them all. This one have like a, this have one of the big like bruiser Covenant guys. Is that, if I, was that this episode where they had to take him down?
That was the yeah, that was the opening.
Oh yeah.
The brute.
Yeah. The brute. That was obviously, I'm still having nightmares about that, because yeah, those fights in Halo are, they're going to be crazy. And have we had, I don't think, have we had a hunter in this show yet? Did we have one in season one? Because I try not to go back and look.
I don't remember. It's very possible we could have. I know we haven't had one in season two. So
no, I want to see some hunters show up. One. Like, that's gonna get wicked, because those things were trying to kill. Everybody has nightmares of trying to kill those things in Halo games, right? Like, trying to take out those hunters. But yeah, that's good stuff. And like, the visual effects work this season and stuff has been so much better, just kind of making these creatures feel like they're in real environments and like coming at you. And as we've said, the Covenant is scary. And even in just a conversation with McKee and the Arbiter, like seeing his jaws click and all that stuff.
No.
Yeah. Like, it's freaky. Like, they make the idea of you being a human with these aliens, like, kind of really scary, like freaky. It'd be nuts. So, I mean, just, I'm really enjoying it, and how much it does feel, and to the credit of the show, and I don't think people say this enough, like, they really nail the details of making you feel like you're hearing a familiar Halo battle game. Like, the ammo dumps, the reloads, you know, the shield effects on the elites and stuff, and how they hit and disappear. Like, it's well done. So, yeah, I think I'd just be going in circles at this point and saying, you know, hats off to everybody and kind of, like, what they're doing in this season. Because, yeah, this is a pretty harrowing episode and pretty entertaining episode. And Halo's becoming like something I definitely, when it's the week and I'm like, oh, it's Halo day, like, let's go, and clicking on and watching them. Between getting my like double day dose of this and like Star Wars, The Bad Batch right now, I'm living good in terms of like sci-fi soldier stories. So doing good. All right. Doing good.
Yeah. All right. I'm on the same thing with, this is the show I look forward to every week. I just, like, it's always at the top of my viewing list whenever it is accessible. So I did not have that on my on my bingo card when, you know, this series first started. And so just to see how far it's come and what they've been able to do this season is incredibly impressive. So hoping we end strong, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, so far, so good. I mean, and it looks like everything we see from right now, I mean, it looks like it's going to be pretty exciting. We know kind of some beats that we're going to get. We need that massive, like, we've seen it in trailers, like Chief, Armor, Cortana, the full package coming back together. We know that we got to take on whatever Ackerson and Kai and whatever her team are up to. And that's going to be like another battle that we get to kind of check out. So it's going to be pretty. I mean, we've already got some pretty action packed things and there's already emotional payoff. Like we need to see Chief at least get close to seeing Ackerson and just eye to eye again and stuff like that, yeah. You know, and these reunions.
We need a Rock Cody face off.
Yeah, I want to see if Halsey gets a one up on Ackerson and all these things. We've built in enough in this cake that there's already the payoff just waiting to be had. So even if we just have this end with us just finally reaching Halo and starting that by the end, it's going to be a pretty brutal, action packed kind of spin the block last back half of the season to kind of finish things out. So I'm excited to see where things go. All right. You got anything else, Matt?
No, I think that sums it up really well.
All right. Then I guess without further ado, we are going to be talking to Natasha Kalzak, who is Riz herself. Matt got a chance to speak with her. So check that out.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, Natasha. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you so much for taking the time. This has been, of course, this will go live after the episode is also live, so we can get into some spoilery talk. But I do want to kind of take us a couple episodes back. Oh, really? Are you really going to do this? Yes, he is. Okay. That's this.
Yes,
really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yes, please move.
Oh, come back.
We just got our kitty like literally 2 days ago. And so
oh my God,
you were my first interview with the cat in tow, Gus. And so Gus is going to make his Okay. Buddy, I love you, buddy.
I want to get one of the action.
Oh my God. So yes, I want to take us a couple episodes back. You know, it's been quite the story for Riz this season, because we really, you know, see what number one, just what a Spartan in general kind of goes through when they're, and everyone, the whole team, Silver Team has really had this kind of big arc as far as like becoming, you know, more than just soldiers, really experiencing life, what emotions are like, all those things. And we've seen that. And Riz has been kind of, you know, paramount to such a embodiment of that, especially. Yeah. What's been your favorite, you know, aspect to explore the season in the character? Because we've had so many kind of great moments.
God, so much. Because obviously in season one, I think Riz was a bit more of a kind of background character. And it's been season two that I've been able to kind of flesh her out. And like you say, see what is really going on in a Spartan's brain, I suppose. And for them, at least, you know, in Silver Timeline as well, it's, you know, they had the pellets that got taken out. And so they were able to suddenly feel the gamut of human emotion, which I think, you know, is quite a lot to deal with. And so that was, it's been so layered for me in terms of Riz. There's been a lot that I've loved exploring, and that was part of it. It was, letting her have all these emotions that she'd obviously never been allowed to experience before, experiencing that for the first time, almost like an adolescent or something. And then I was kind of picturing her. I developed this like mad, weird backstory in my own head that she was like the youngest sibling. As a youngest sibling, I was like, I see you, babe. Definitely youngest.
bring a little of the own life into the character there, for sure.
Yeah, because in season one, she says something about not being good enough in this the wolf pack training session that they did as a kid. She wasn't as good as everyone else. And I was like, huh, okay. So she really has this kind of need to impress and want to be good, you know, and prove her mettle and prove her worth. And I think what's been really amazing in season two is being able to explore that with the injury and, you know, that level of acceptance, I suppose, that she's had to come to of like, I'm just not good enough anymore, you know, maybe irreversibly so. And so dealing with that has been kind of like quite a joy, I think, as an actor. And then also obviously all the guns, learning military tactics.
Yeah, we got all the deep stuff. And then of course it's like, nah, but it's still awesome to like be able to like whip ass in armor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. As a, prior to Halo, I'd never even looked at a gun, let alone fired one. So I was like, okay, turns out I love him. Which I didn't expect.
You're having energy swords, you know, all about laying all about the house and things. And I understand it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, make me a cup of tea now.
And it's been wonderful to see the dynamic between. It's so funny that you bring up the youngest sibling thing, because they do this season especially have felt like siblings. They know each other. No one knows each other like they do. And so they're really able to get in under each other's skin and also calm each other down in a way that only really, you know, siblings or very close friends can. And, you know, for Riz, especially because this character, there's two episodes, you know, between it was kind of the premiere, which has a lot of big action. And then, of course, Reach, which we'll get to here in a second. But the two episodes in between are so important for Riz, because it's like it opens up this whole other like view of what life can be. And of course, how that ties full circle to what we'll get to here in a little bit. How important were those two episodes for Riz as a character? And what was the experience like for you kind of getting to explore some of that stuff?
Major. And that's really the heart, I think, as well. You know, what is it? Spartan friendships, you know, like we're saying, they're kind of like siblings, but also having friendships outside of the Spartan program, you know, it's sort of like, your siblings are your family, but then you also have a chosen family as well, you know, your mates. And so I think that was probably something that Riz couldn't even consider, you know, and a lot of the Spartans probably can't until it happens. And you're kind of like, oh, this person's just being really nice to me because they like me, what? And so I think that heart of it was massive, because it also contributes to Riz's experience of loss and grief. And losing a mate in battle, you know, and obviously we experience loads of loss in during Reach, but those two episodes are huge in terms of her exploring friendship and love and acceptance from other people, and ultimately Lewis telling her that there's more to life than just this. I mean, basically what she'd done, which is dedicate her entire existence to the Spartan program. Now he's telling her that there's other stuff.
And you're right, because those scenes, especially in Reach, you know, pay off in the, you know, worst way. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, yes, we don't want to lose people because it's crushing, but I can't imagine without all that time spent, those scenes take even on more importance, and you understand the effect that has, and that leads us into the Battle of Reach, right? Because that was such what a amazing battle that is. We really get to see, and without armor, no less, right? Just no Spartans less.
being a male. What did you think of that approach? Because I think that surprised a lot of people. And also it led to some just amazing, you know, choreography and some moments there. What did you think of that kind of whole thing of not fighting in armor?
Yeah, it was fascinating and a challenge as well, because also, you know, we were so used to fighting in armor. And obviously, you know, the Spartans, we kind of like got used to the Mjolnir armor now by this point, even though it's so unbelievably heavy and restrictive. And so to be able to show that proficiency and that war, that deadliness out of suit, that was definitely something that we really wanted to make sure that we could nail. And we had this amazing military advisor called Jack, who helped us develop, you know, tactics. And, you know, we did like boot camps and spent ages trying to make sure that we were on point with the weapons handling. And we just wanted to make sure that we still looked like Spartans, even outside of the suit, and try and show that as much as possible, that kind of deadliness and focused nature. But yeah, it was exciting to try and do that out of armor.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hi, Natasha. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for taking the time. This has been, of course, this will go live after the episode is also live, so we can get into some spoilery talk. But I do want to kind of take us a couple episodes back. Oh, really? Are you really going to do this? Yes, he is. Okay. That's this.
Yes,
really?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. Yes, please move.
Oh, come back.
We just got our kitty like literally 2 days ago. And so,
oh my God,
you were my first interview with the cat in tow, Gus. And so, Gus is going to make his
Gus.
Okay. With you, buddy. I love you, buddy.
Gus is like, I want to get on in the action.
Oh my God. So, yes, I want to take us a couple episodes back. You know, it's been quite the story for Riz this season, because we really, you know, see what number one, just what a Spartan in general kind of goes through when they're, and everyone, the whole team, Silver Team, has really had this kind of big arc as far as like becoming, you know, more than just soldiers, really experiencing life, what emotions are like, all those things. And we've seen that. And Riz has been kind of, you know, paramount to such a embodiment of that, especially. Yeah. What's been your favorite, you know, aspect to explore the season in the character? Because we've had so many kind of great moments.
God, so much. Because obviously in season one, I think Riz was a bit more of a kind of background character. And it's been season two that I've been able to kind of flesh her out and, like you say, see what is really going on in a Spartan's brain, I suppose. And for them, at least, you know, in Silver Timeline as well, it's, you know, they had the pellets that got taken out. And so they were able to suddenly feel the gamut of human emotion, which I think, for, you know, is quite a lot to deal with. And so that was, it's been so layered for me in terms of Riz. There's been a lot that I've loved exploring, and that was part of it. It was letting her have all these emotions that she'd obviously never been allowed to experience before, experiencing that for the first time, almost like an adolescent or something. And then I was kind of picturing her. I developed this like mad, weird backstory in my own head that she was like the youngest sibling. As a youngest sibling, I was like, I see you, babe. Definitely a youngest.
Bring a little of the own life into the character there, for sure.
Yeah. Because in season one, she says something about not being good enough in this, the Wolfpack training session that they did as a kid. She wasn't as good as everyone else. And I was like, huh, okay. So she really has this kind of need to impress and want to be good, you know, and prove her mettle and prove her worth. And I think what's been really amazing in season two is being able to explore that with the injury and, you know, that level of acceptance, I suppose, that she's had to come to of like, I'm just not good enough anymore, you know, maybe irreversibly so. And so dealing with that has been kind of like quite a joy, I think, as an actor. And then also obviously all the guns, learning military tactics.
Yeah, we got all the deep stuff. And then, of course, it's like, no, but it's still awesome to, like, be able to, like, whip ass in armor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So prior to Halo, I'd never even looked at a gun, let alone fired one. So I was like, okay, turns out I love him. Which I didn't
You're
expect.
You're going to start having energy swords, you know, all about laying all about the house and things. And I understand it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, make me a cup of tea now.
it's been wonderful to see the dynamic between. It's so funny that you bring up the youngest sibling thing, because they do this season especially have felt like siblings. They know each other. No one knows each other like they do. And so they're really able to get in under each other's skin and also calm each other down in a way that only really, you know, siblings are very close friends can. And, you know, for Riz, especially because this character, there's two episodes, you know, between it was kind of the premiere, which has a lot of big action. And then, of course, Reach, which we'll get to here in a second. But the two episodes in between are so important for Riz, because it's like it opens up this whole other like view of what life can be, and of course how that ties full circle to what we'll get to here in a little bit. How important were those two episodes for Riz as a character, and what was the experience like for you kind of getting to explore some of that stuff?
Major. And that's really the heart, I think, as well. Yeah, you know, what is it, Spartan friendships, you know, like we're saying, they're kind of like siblings, but also having friendships outside of the Spartan program, you know, it's sort of like your siblings are your family, but then you also have a chosen family as well, you know, your mates. And so I think that was probably something that Riz couldn't even consider, you know, and a lot of the Spartans probably can't until it happens. And you're kind of like, oh, this person's just being really nice to me because they like me, what? And so I think that heart of it was massive, because it also contributes to Riz's experience of loss and grief. And losing a mate in battle, you know, and obviously we experience loads of loss in during Reach, but those two episodes are huge in terms of her exploring friendship and love and acceptance from other people, and ultimately Lewis telling her that there's more to life than just this. I mean, basically what she'd done, which is dedicate her entire existence to the Spartan program. Now he's telling her that there's other stuff.
And you're right, because those scenes, especially in Reach, you know, pay off in the, you know, worst way. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, yes, we don't want to lose people because it's crushing, but I can't imagine without all that time spent, those scenes take even on more importance, and you understand the effect that has. And that leads us into the Battle of Reach, right? Because that was such a amazing battle that is we really get to see, and without armor, no less, right? Just no Spartans being a bit. What did you think of that approach? Because I think that surprised a lot of people, and yeah. also it led to some just amazing, you know, choreography and some moments there. What did you think of that kind of whole thing of not fighting in armor?
Yeah, it was fascinating and a challenge as well, because also, you know, we were so used to fighting in armor. And obviously, you know, the Spartans, we kind of like got used to the Mjolnir armor now by this point, even though it's so unbelievably heavy and restrictive. And so to be able to show that proficiency and that war, that deadliness out of suit, that was definitely something that we really wanted to make sure that we could nail. And we have this amazing military advisor called Jack, who helped us develop, you know, tactics, and, you know, we did like boot camps and spent ages trying to make sure that we were on point with the weapons handling. And we just wanted to make sure that we still looked like Spartans, even outside of the suit, and try and show that as much as possible, that kind of deadliness and focused nature. But yeah, it was exciting to try and do that out of armor.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, and then, of course, that leads us to, you know, episode 5, and things pick up literally seconds after 4. And that was, you know, one of the surprising aspects as well, that, you know, the Battle of Reach and everything, it wasn't just this kind of one episode encapsulated thing. Number one, it carries over, and two, the effects of it on the team and everything will carry over seemingly throughout the rest of the season. And we see that reflected in decisions. And Riz makes a decision to go back. Our boy Vanek, you know, RIP, such a love Vanek. I'm so sad to see that happen. But that's why it made me, you know, it throw out all, you know, safety and logic, right? I was like, no, you go get him.
You go, that's it. Go
wholeheartedly. You know what I mean? What leads to that decision? Because, you know, there are points that, you know, John makes later of, you know, of like, you know, that's so like, we don't do that, you know, and all these things. But like, what leads Riz to go do that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it doesn't really make sort of tactical sense, does it, to just go back into the fight, into the melee. I think she'd got to a point with so much loss that she just didn't want to leave him there, and that there was a way that getting him back could somehow contribute to making amends, at, you know, for losing Lewis and Danilo as well, and so much loss, and then losing Vanek on top of it was just so heartbreaking, I think, for the team and for her, for John. And I just think she just couldn't leave him, you know. They're brothers in arms, brothers, sisters in arms, you know, you don't want to leave one of your own. And I just think at that point, I'm not sure necessarily she was completely thinking straight. I think she was probably, operating on pure emotion at that point and adrenaline.
And understandable, you know what I mean? There's a lot, there was a lot happening. And I also got to give props, right? It's not like you didn't even get hit until the very, end. So, you know, props. If I had been running in there, I'd have got hit like as soon as I left the, you know, the ship.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's not happening. Now you got to go without me, you know? That leads to, you know, it's like Riz has already been through so much, you know, even just physically, you know, it's like it was all, you know, she was already recuperating from one kind of injury. And we saw her overcome that in the season and get there. And then it's like, oh man, you know, it's kind of here. And you really think, though, at no point did I, it was always like, oh no, she'll get there. Like because you've already seen it. You've already seen like the will of that character. And no matter what Halsey says in front, it doesn't deter that. I think that's a credit to the work of the character this season. But then the character makes a surprising, but then also not really surprising decision. Well, you know, what did you think of that decision for her to stay and not go? And what do you felt like was the biggest, what led to that most, I guess?
Yeah, it's interesting because I do think, like you say, she was just so focused and so resilient for so long. And that was kind of like the main characteristics of Riz, right? Just so like just tunnel vision of just da-da-da-da, get the job done. And that's kind of what I wanted to have for Reach as well for Riz, was just this complete unfazed by what was going on, even by her own injuries. You know, they were kind of killing her, but the original injury was kind of killing her, but she couldn't, you don't have time to think about that in the midst of battle. So you just got to keep going. And then I think she just mined so much adrenaline there to get her to Vanek and back again. And then with the second injury, finally had time to just stop and maybe have a bit of peace there. And then just kind of realized, I think she must have just come to a realization that I have given you everything. I've dedicated my entire life to this. And I don't know what I am, you know. Is a Spartan always a Spartan? And I think, yeah, it was definitely fascinating kind of going into that. I wanted her to get to such a point where she was grafting and pushing so much. But everyone has a limit, I guess. You know, how far do you go until you just go, I can't do this anymore, physically and emotionally? And I guess that's when she sees Halsey's face and then just thinks, I'm out of it.
That was the thing. That was the thing. It's like, oh, we're not doing this again. Like,
hang on a minute.
It's really something, because and it's so funny that you bring up the, you know, going back to the sibling thing, because there is a big brother, little sister relationship that you really get to see a lot in this particular episode between Riz and Chief, and especially in the end, you know, we've been like chipping away at, you know, the soldier kind of haze for John throughout this season. And I feel like here is actually probably one of the biggest breakthroughs, and it's Riz that draws that out of him. Yeah. It's that, you know, you're all I have left, that line, like, oh my God, you know, and it's like, I know, like, that was fantastic.
And because having just lost another one, and now he's losing a second. And what does that mean for him going forward, you know, and our fire team, silver team, what does that mean for, you know, it's not ever going to be the same again. And dealing with the repercussions of that, you know, and I think you do, you're right. There's that kind of real deep sibling kind of respect and love there. But.
And he's got to be happy for it, right?
That's it. That's exactly. Yeah. That respect of going like, I don't want you to make this decision, but I want you to be happy. And you know, and she, I think, feels similarly, you know, you need to do what you need to do, and I need to do what I need to do. And I love you, but like, this is it, you know, and they've both gone through so much. Everyone has gone through so much. And I guess they're just handling it in their own various different ways.
And I think Riz is already making friends.
Riz is making buddies, left, right, and center. she's like, I don't know, joining some kind of commune or something. She's gonna be like learning how to crochet, doing yoga, like rehabilitate.
We're gonna come back, and there's gonna be like a bunch of sweaters. Like, John's gonna come back and this army of sweaters. She's gonna have made like crocheted sweater armor. You know what I mean? It's like, I couldn't leave it all behind.
And I'll be selling it. I'll have like a little stall. We'll have this little stall that she sells in memorabilia.
Does the Halo universe have Etsy? Is that a thing? you know, I know we have to let you go here, but I sincerely appreciate the time. One quick one, because you know, obviously we don't. It's that thing of like being torn. You're seeing someone happy, and you want them to live your life, but then of course there's this giant war that's happening. Things don't look especially great, not necessarily for, you know, the, you know, Oni and all these people, because they seem to be just fine. They just like left everybody to die, you know, but like this core group is kind of on their heels. Any chance, you know, any chance we see Riz back in action at some point?
Who knows? Who knows? I don't know.
It's going to be something. And it's going to be crocheted armor, though, this time.
It's going to be crocheted armor. It's going to be drumming and singing. It's going to be, yeah, she's doing nails. I don't know. But yeah, this question, is a Spartan always a Spartan, you know? I think that would be kind of interesting to see going forward.
Absolutely. Well, I cannot wait to see how the rest of the season plays out. And you know, kudos on a great season so far. I've truly enjoyed it, and all the best success.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm so glad. And hope to fingers crossed over here. you know, we get to just at least drop in on and see what Riz is up to before the end of this season.
See how many jumpers she's made.
yeah, exactly. We gotta see. We gotta get an update, and we'll get the Etsy store link at some point. I'm sure it'll happen.
Oh no, we'll get. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Oh, take care.
All right, we want to thank Natasha Kolzak for joining us here on Comic Book Nation's Quick Save. Her work in Halo as Riz has been phenomenal, and you never know, so keep your eyes peeled, because you never know when you might need a good Spartan. I mean, Louis did things blind, right? So,
yeah, man, I'm pulling for, like, you know, just that one, like, last reinforcement, right? I don't know. I'm hoping we get that by the end.
We want the OGs and the cavalry. That's a perfect place to leave off with our Halo Season 2 Episode 5 recap. I am Kofi Outlaw. That's my buddy Matt Aguilar. We are Comic Book Nation. And if you are just getting into our podcast, we got a whole network and feeds galore of good content about all things geek culture. You can find us every Friday live on the main Comic Book Nation show, where we cover all things geek culture. You can find Matt every Wednesday on the Pull List, pulling the biggest things in comics and letting you guys know about it. We also have another regular Quick Save segment every Thursday, where our gaming team breaks down the biggest things happening in the gaming industry that week. We've just launched Anime Initiative every Tuesday, where the anime team breaks down the biggest news, reviews the biggest anime manga happenings. We're going everywhere. If you want to go over to the other feeds, we also have, for all you Marvel heads, Phase Zero, the Marvel Focus podcast. And for all you trying to catch them all people out there, a wild Pokemon has appeared. And if you are just getting into the Percy Jackson and the Olympians Disney Plus show, we also have Riptide Radio on our Comic Book Nation feeds. Check that out as well. All right, I think I plugged everything. Matt, thank you for joining me. Can't wait for Halo Episode 6. So everybody stay tuned. Watch Halo every week on Paramount+. I'm Kofi Outlaw, Matt Aguilar, and we are out of here. Peace.